This Week in Retronauts. Oh boy. Get it? That was like a Quantum Leap thing. Yeah.
I got it. It's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Kabuki Quantum Leap would be a great game.
Kabuki Quantum Leap, yeah. So, you know, like theorizing one could leap within his own lifetime. Colonel Scott Connor O'Connor steps into the Kabuki Quantum Accelerator.
Scott O'Connor.
It was Sam Beckett in the TV show.
Yeah, I know.
But Scott O'Connor, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, we're already off to a bad start. Hi, everyone. It's Jeremy
Scott
Parrish.
Scott Bakula. There's a connection.
Count Bakula. Akumajo Bakula.
Count Chocula.
Yes.
We'll just start over.
I really want to play Akumajo Bakula.
Me too.
Demon Castle Scott Bakula would be amazing.
Unfortunately, that's not the game we're talking about. Hi, everyone. It's Jeremy Parrish with Binge Edwards and Chris Sims. Yep. Following up on our disastrous Metroidvania episode for probably a disastrous Kabuki Quantum Fighter episode. That's right, Kabuki Quantum Fighter, the NES game that makes no damn sense whatsoever.
No, and that's what's great about it.
I do like how nonsensical this game is. So this episode...
Several months ago, Chris said we could do an entire episode about...
Yeah, this was my suggestion and request.
I took him seriously. I said, all right, Chris Sims, we can make an episode about Kabuki Quantum Fighter. And now here we are. It's a micro episode, so it's only going to be like 20 minutes long. But this is going to strain your patience and tolerance. Just you watch. That's right. That's our promise to you. The Retronauts promise. You're going to hate this episode.
I think what I find most appealing about Kabuki Quantum Fighter is the same thing that I find appealing about Golden Age comics, in that we have this sense of the storytelling that's possible in games now, that, you know, games can have these elaborate stories and multiple characters. And you look at something like Skyrim, or you look at something like Fallout, and there's all these elaborate and interweaving stories. But there was a time, and it's when I was a kid, and so it's when my idea of what video games are, like, really crystallized, where you got the stories of games predominantly from Nintendo Power, and there was this sense that nothing really had to make sense, and no game that I can think of really typifies that as much as Kabuki Quantum Fighter. And that's coming from, you know, what was at the time a genre, and particularly a console, that was defined by the story of a plumber who was fighting mushrooms to save a princess from a fire-breathing turtle.
Well, now you are an army colonel using your virtual hair to kill computer viruses because you're a kabuki dancer in cyberspace.
You're 2035? Is that what it was?
It's something like that. 2038? I don't know. It's in the near future.
Yeah. It's a future where you can be a full colonel in the military at the age of 25, which is what is established in the opening cutscene.
That's when they have that accelerating download knowledge into your brain stuff. Right?
Well, you know, that's right. I know kung fu. This was, keep in mind, a product designed for children, and the idea of a 25-year-old is like for kids. Okay, so... I was born in 1975. I remember in like third grade, so that would be 1983-ish, our teacher assigned us a class project, draw what you're going to look like in the year 2000. Everyone draw themselves as like old people. I was like, I'm going to be 25 years old in 2000. Woof. So I drew myself as like an adult, like, you know, just like an adult. But everyone else was like that's so far away. I'm going to be an old person. So yeah, the idea of a 25-year-old colonel, sure, why not?
You didn't draw yourself as a kabuki actor who was battling computer viruses with your weaponized hair? I didn't know what kabuki was
back then, but had I known, I might have been a kabuki dancer in cyberspace.
This is before the whole mind-uploading Ray Kurzweil stuff was popular. Do you know this game invented that?
This was after William Gibson, wrote like
Neuromancer
and some of the Bridge trilogy books. So it wasn't like a totally out there idea.
Yeah.
But definitely one of the first video games to tackle that concept.
The introduction says something about he changes his mind to binary so he can flow freely through computer circuits.
I would personally change my mind to hexadecimal. It seems a lot more versatile.
Yeah.
So the premise of this game is that there is a sentient computer virus that has taken over the world's arsenal of nuclear missiles. And the only way that you can fight it is to go inside the computer where the files are.
Wait a minute, isn't that what's going on right now in America?
I don't think so. Okay. There's certainly no kabuki dancing happening in our White House.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you.
So the idea is that Colonel Scott O'Connor, 25 years old, military veteran of the future computer virus wars, jacks into the Matrix, digitizes himself, and when he appears, much to his own surprise, he is a digital futuristic kabuki dancer.
Yeah.
And this was a concept that was introduced to me, and I brought it with me, in Nintendo Power, when the game wasn't called Kabuki Quantum Fighter. It was just called Quantum Fighter.
I feel like it probably would have fared better had it just used that name. Like, how many kids in America knew what kabuki was?
Yeah. The art of Japanese theater.
I definitely feel like this game, or probably this article in Nintendo Power introduced it to
same
them.
Here.
Because it has, like...
By the way, in the the 90, early 90s or late 80s, when you want to know what kabuki was, what did you do?
You didn't have the internet. Mom?
Yeah, you ask your mom, or what, you look in a dictionary or go to a library or something.
Mm.
That's how quaint this was.
Or I just busted out Nintendo Power.
Yeah, Nintendo Power.
You were futuristic and you logged into the whole Earth Electric Link.
Yeah, I did that a few times.
I didn't have a computer to do that with.
If you had Nintendo Power, you'd know that kabuki is a traditional dramatic art from Japan. It's unique to Eastern culture. A Western equivalent might be ballet or opera. The actors in a kabuki drama wear lavish costumes and some have huge manes of colored hair. Whether such hair would make a good weapon is uncertain. But can you imagine a game starring a quantum-fighting ballet dancer?
There's doubt in the Nintendo Power editor's minds already.
Yeah, even Nintendo Power's editors, this was the Pravda of video games. It was all propaganda. Mm-hmm. Like, they still said, guys,
I don't know about this.
This is pretty goofy.
Yeah, on the opening page, Nintendo Power, which has seen it all, just calls out the game for using your hair as a weapon and says, yes, you read correctly. The Kabuki hero's hair, a weapon like no other in video games, is only the beginning of the bizarre things you'll find in Quantum Fighter.
How does Nintendo Power stand on the Shantae games? Since you also use your hair there, I bet they're more okay with that. I think that's it's a gendered kind of thing. They're like, oh yeah, girl. Yeah, she'll hit stuff with her hair.
But
a dude, that's so weird.
Well, it's...
Plus, her hair's purple as opposed to red. Purple's so much deadlier.
I do think this game is not like, as far as I know, Kabuki Quantum Fighter was not like a huge success. It's not super obscure, though, either. Yeah. And I feel like the game or this Nintendo Power article, if not, it did not propel it to cultural relevance, but definitely propelled it to a certain
awareness,
group of people who were part of that Nintendo Power subscription. Movement in the
every
90s.
Boy
movement?
In America
was it a movement?
Yeah, I consider it a movement. I consider it
a revolution.
There's a Super Mario Brothers 3 commercial where everybody's like Mario, and it zooms out to the whole world and it looks a movement.
I guess demographic would probably be the better way to put it. But
we just weren't connected yet back then.
I guess we were all alone, isolated, weeping by ourselves because we were nerds. No one wanted to hang out with us.
But every time I see anything where hair is used as a weapon, like the Shantae games, like those villains in the first stage of Maximum Carnage for Super NES, I'm always like, Kabuki Quantum Fighter. That's what that's from.
So it's worth mentioning a few things about this game. One, it was co-developed by Human Entertainment and HAL America, or HAL Entertainment, HAL Laboratory. HAL, of course, gave us other interesting concepts like Eggerland, a.k.a. Adventures of Lolo, where a little round guy solves mazes he does use emerald framers to block the vision beams of Medusas. They have snake hair, so that's
good
one thing.
Connection.
And also a little round pink guy who eats everything in sight, and including tomatoes with M's on them. Could it be? Carby, actually.
Carby.
Really? He's all carbs.
The one with the human feet.
No, that's the worst mod. Oh, God, don't bring that up.
Wait,
again.
Is there a version of Kirby who has human?
It's really disturbing.
It's just a meme thing with Kirby with human feet. With his shoes off. You know, he's got big
feet. God, really, I didn't even think of really them gross. As shoes.
Someday, Nintendo's going to make that canon, I think.
It's going to be in a Fire Emblem game. It's going to be one of your marriage options. Kirby with feet.
Kirby's feet?
Yes. Everyone is someone's fetish.
Quantum feet.
Feeder. Quantum feeder.
The thing I like about the way this game is presented is that Kabuki is something that we're not meant to know about. Like, as kids in America reading Nintendo Power. Quantum fighting? We're all on the same page. Like, I know exactly what quantum fighting is.
It's about fighting quanta, right?
Yeah, sure. Fighting Qantas Airlines.
Is the universe quantized, though?
That's I don't know. Question. That's not a question we're going to solve in this game.
Particles.
So,
or a continuum.
So this game is actually based on a movie in Japan. The Japanese version, I can't remember the name of it, but it's based on a film called Zappingu, which does have some, like, a kabuki element, but it doesn't have, like, a dude turning into a digital kabuki fighter, and he definitely does not kill dudes with his hair.
Anybody know the story of the Japanese version of this game? Did they just invent that digital dude turning into, you know, a guy turning into a digital version?
So it's like a sequel to the movie. You play as like the grandson of the movie's character, and it does take place in the future, and you're being digitized. But the thing is, like, this is a really unusual case of a game becoming more Japanese in the American version.
Weird.
The character portraits in the Japanese version of the game are all digitized stills of the film actor.
Oh.
But they turned it into like super cutesy anime looking, like not photorealistic, but instead like cute, super deformed anime character models, which you'd expect it to go the other way. Like, oh, take out the anime and make it photorealistic in America. Mm-hmm. But no, that's not how it happened.
We need a Retronaut screening of this film now.
Let's all get together sometime, and we'll have like a theater,
and then we'll
play
Hyankyo Alien.
Yeah, well, we'll watch it in the park, and then I'll dig holes in the park that people will fall into.
Yeah, I was just doing that in my backyard yesterday. Okay.
One thing that I think is really fun is that you are presented with this guy who, for some reason, when he becomes digitized, it gives him the body of a kabuki actor, a weaponized body of a kabuki actor. And the sort of in canon reason for that is that his grandfather was a kabuki actor.
He had like some Japanese heritage.
Yeah, so Grandpa O'Connor.
It's those strong Japanese genes coming forward.
O'Connor-san. Yeah.
I really do like the idea that Scott O'Connor seems like the name they would give to Kabuki Quantum Fighter in the American Netflix version. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Okay.
I thought that was a solid joke. Okay, apparently not.
The game. It's a good game.
Yeah, it is.
The production solid, value. Yeah.
Production
values are good.
What is your respective histories with the game? Like, it's a game that I've been aware of for a long time, but had never played beyond the first stage until yesterday when I streamed it live and discovered, wow, this game is like testicle punching hard.
Yeah.
This was one of the games that I became obsessed with in Nintendo Power, because, you know, Nintendo Power would have those lavish like box art recreations and cool designs. And I loved the idea of taking this thing. It was right around the age where I was, you know, getting into anime and manga and kind of becoming obsessed with like the idea of Japanese culture as a thing that I was unfamiliar with, you know, recognizing that other countries had culture that I was unfamiliar with. And so blending that with this really weird sci-fi premise and what I thought were like pretty interesting representations of what it would be like to go into a virtual world, I was kind of obsessed with it from
this
that.
This really occurred to you back then?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What it was like to go into virtual world?
Yeah, like because you're going inside the computer. Really, that's so cool.
That's really amazing.
I had a lot of time to think about the things I read in Nintendo Power.
Actually cool. I'm not making fun of you. I mean, there's just something neat. I think that's neat that the story resonated with you like that.
Yeah.
It makes sense because of your comics background. Just the, I don't know, just thinking about stories so deeply and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this ties into my comics background in that there is an episode of Nth Man, the Ultimate Ninja, where where John Doe and I think Novikova?
Yeah. Larry Hamazone.
They get digitized, and it's like a cross between Super Mario Brothers and Ninja Gaiden. Wow. They're like jumping around on platforms, and digital ninjas are coming after them. So like this kind of thing was kind of in the cultural zeitgeist. This was that happened. Oh man, that must have been like around the same time as this game came out. This was 1990. I think that comic was like 1990 through 92.
Yeah, it's early 90s, maybe like 89, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
When did Ninja Gaiden come out?
Japan 88, America 89.
Yeah. My first encounter with this game was, I think I bought it used at Funko Land around 99 or something like that, when I was collecting as many NES cartridges as I could. And I was like, oh, it looks like a Ninja Gaiden clone with hair.
It really is very much cut from the same cloth as Ninja Gaiden, as Batman,
yeah,
by Sunsoft.
It felt like a Sunsoft game, production values-wise. Mm-hmm.
It looks Batman. A lot like Batman. And yeah. In fact, there's a lot of enemies that are
I think we did a podcast about Batman where we mentioned
it. I read a site where someone described it as essentially being a ROM hack of Batman. And I think that's not being charitable enough to Kabuki Quantum Fighter. But.
No, I mean, Batman, you can like jump off the wall. But seriously, yesterday when I started to play the stream, like my instinct was to try to do the triangle jump off the wall like Batman. I realized, of course, I can't do that. This isn't Batman, but this game looks so much like it. It sounds like it.
And
the enemies are the same.
You switch with the select button between a projectile weapon and your hair. Mm-hmm. And when you duck, you punch. Mm-hmm. I think that's like Batman too, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Instead of like, you know, kicking or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's hard. It's hard when you duck.
They
have to be right there, and then they...
But the thing is, Batman came out in 1990 for NES, and this game came out in 1990 for NES.
Collusion.
So
there's some kind of
convergent evolution, my friend. It is a pretty crazy coincidence. I don't know exactly when in 1990 this came out. It might have been just far enough into the year, like at the end of the year, that
the guys at Human were moonlighting as Sunsoft programmers.
That's possible.
And they did like the same code in the back end or something, you know.
You never know, man. This
really
does,
don't know.
This does predate Human sort of developing its own personality. Like at this point, Human was still kind of trying to figure out what it was. This is also around the time that they created that Gilligan's Island game for NES. It's about a year before Fire Pro Wrestling came out, the very first one. So like that, I think, was sort of the defining moment for Human. But they still weren't quite there. So they were making Batman Ninja Gaiden clones for NES partnership with HAL.
Why not?
I think it has surprisingly, like it is surprisingly fun to play in retrospect. Like going back to it, I think it's responsive. Like the animation of whipping your hair forward is actually like a really cool animation.
The character animation is really good.
It is good, yeah. I can see the reason why we're talking about this is because it impacted Chris in a deep way when he saw it as a kid.
I got to grow my hair out.
I would write this comic so cheap.
That's your message, Hal.
Yeah, holler at me.
Have there been any, cosplay Kabuki Quantum Fighters that we know of?
I don't know.
That would be interesting.
Now I know what I need to do for my next convention.
There's this search engine I heard of.
Oh, yeah?
Altavista.
I was going to say Lycos.
You can search things. I keep looking out the window. I see those windows out there.
Web Spider.
It looks like Deadly Towers in the background.
The townhouses?
Yeah.
It's good audio content.
Okay.
It's crazy. Sure. Look out the window, guys.
Wow. I feel so lonely with my sword or whatever.
I like Kabuki Quantum Fighter, and I think it really encapsulates that kind of feel in a way that other games that I was... The Nintendo power enabled me to be obsessed with, like, Star Tropics. I was, like, really into reading about more than I was into playing.
Yeah. Star Tropics had that effect on me. Like, from the Nintendo power, I was like, man, this game's awesome. But I didn't play it for 10 years after that.
there's so much, like, story, and you like, get the idea that it's hinting at this bigger world. And for me, it was the same with Kabuki Quantum Fighter. Like, what is happening in this game? There have to be reasons for this.
Yeah, like, you play as Colonel Scott O'Connor, the Kabuki Quantum Fighter, but all the cutscenes have basically nothing to do with him. It's like, you know, all these guys standing around a computer center and, like, watching him progress into the computer. And occasionally he'll be like, hey, I just cleared the stage or something. But, like, he's not really part of the story. It's like the story is following the people watching him. It's like in the Matrix, if you know, half so the story were about just people watching
terminal or something,
watching Neo inside the computer.
Well, it's a really interesting take on, and this is a thing that in retrospect I think might have drawn me to it. It's about a guy going into a video game world in the same way that, like, Captain N was. Like, you know, he has to go inside a computer and you're the one playing the computer game, but you're, you know. It has this idea of this is what's happening inside your video game. This is what a virtual world looks like. And so getting the story of the people, like, standing around watching him, I don't know. I think it's really cool. I like Kabuki Quantum Fighter.
There's a game later for Windows 3.1. It's the best Windows 3.1 game ever made, called Operation Interspace. And you pilot a ship into your own computer. It analyzes your directory tree and puts viruses on your actual executable program names, and the icons are in the game, and you rescue the icons or you shoot them if they're virus infected.
Wow.
That was awesome.
That sounds like something that actually inspired real, like, program hacker people, like, holding, you know, ransomware guys.
Maybe so. You never know.
Wasn't there, like, a virus that turned your actual directories into, like, targets, and you had to blow them up or something?
Yeah.
And then your system was dead.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That
sounds like Interspace.
Like, someone took that seriously. Like, you can't come up with a cool idea like that, because someone will say, what if we did that for real?
Yeah, gosh.
We destroy everything.
What if we all became real-life Kabuki Quantum Fighters?
Oh, yeah. Man. I'm wearing my Kabuki suit right now.
It's very... I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, so...
That's the other thing. Like, in retrospect... The fact that this game has something that's so uniquely Japanese, that it is like, he's a Kabuki guy and it's a sequel to a movie. I'm shocked that this wasn't localized as, like, a Wayne's World game, you know, like something that would have been like, because it's headbanging inside the Matrix.
But would you be Wayne or Garth?
Well, I mean, that hat's gonna stop Wayne from having ability. Yeah, you'd have to be Garth rescuing Wayne.
Whiplash. Can you imagine the neck muscles on that guy?
Got it. Well, I mean, it's all digital, so it doesn't matter, man.
You're right.
It's imaginary.
Nothing matters. Why doesn't he just punch it? Why does he use his
hair? That's how the Matrix works.
Part is art. The art.
You just gotta believe, like Parappa in the Matrix. So yeah, let's talk briefly about how the game plays. Like, we've kind of discussed it a little bit, but, like, what I was really surprised about is, maybe I shouldn't have been surprised, but it's ruthless. It's really hardcore.
Very difficult.
Completely without
it gives
Ruth.
You two computer or two continues. And there is one point I noticed where, like, there's an infinite loop sort of where this one enemy will give you a one up every time you kill him. Cause I kept dying and I kept getting the one up there. But other than that, like, there's just no mercy whatsoever.
It's possible, like, you use the chips as ammo, and it's possible to kind of grind for chips. And then, again, this is something in Nintendo Power. They didn't even put this in classified information. This was the thing of the video game. Whenever you fight, or the thing of the review, whenever you fight a boss, you have the option to trade in your ammunition for life, which is weird. But
Faustian bargain.
Yeah, I kind of like that. It's there. Like,
it can go either way. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you're trading a pound of flesh for a pound of chips. It sounds delicious, actually.
Usually you eat a pound of chips and it becomes a pound of flesh.
I mean, usually you eat a pound of chips and you gained a pound of flesh. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I was really especially sort of taken aback by how hard the third stage is. The third stage basically has no enemies in it. It's all just platforming challenges. So it's like this game of attrition where you're trying to survive and get through all these really difficult platforming challenges. and there are no enemies to grind for health on. So you either make it or you die. Yeah. And there are no checkpoints in this game. You make it to the end of the stage or you don't. And some of the stage timers are so strict, like unbelievably strict. Like there was one that gave me 50 seconds to get through. Really? 50 seconds.
That computer virus is going to blow up the world.
I was just farting around, having fun on the stream, chatting, and then all of a sudden I was dead. I was like, oh, wow, there's a timer. And it's really, really tough.
It also does the Kid Icarus trick of having like horizontal stages, then vertically oriented stages.
Yeah, it
does. Alternating.
But no labyrinth stages. No, in the castles.
No, thankfully.
Oh, I love those.
But is it a Metroidvania?
It is not.
Say it is. No, I wouldn't.
Get the hell out of here.
I wouldn't. It's a Kabukivania.
Yes, exactly. Vania. All right, so any final thoughts on this game? I'm going to wrap it up with letters if not.
You wrote something in the notes about a spiritual follow-up.
Oh, yeah. According to Hardcore Gaming 101, there was a game called Seven Blades for PlayStation 2. It was written by the scenario writer of this game and is a follow-up. I think it involves the Hyperion Space Initiative. Satellite system. but other than that, it's like nothing to do with Kabuki Quantum Fighter. So this is a game they need to bring back. They need to put it in, I don't know, like Virtual Console or something.
It's called Shantae.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Make it a little easier, less brutal. Shantae, though, that's a Metroidvania.
Yeah, that's a damn good one.
All right, so a letter Shantae from...
Shantae really is it's the Kabuki Quantum Metroidvania.
It's the next crossover.
It brings everything in.
Yeah, we need to do a Shantae episode. So from Tommy Fitzgerald, I have owned this game since it originally came out. I remember seeing previews for it and being intrigued by it, and it turned out to be a pretty good game, at least to me. Now, in 2017, it has become a cult classic, and who knew HAL would go from a fast-paced game like Kabuki Quantum Fighter to games like Kirby and Smash Brothers. It deserves a Virtual Console re-release on Switch or 3DS so more people can play it. I agree.
Agreed.
Disagree.
Damn.
Brutal.
Still, 2 out of 3. From Michael Mertes. My first experience with Kabuki Quantum Fighter was seeing it as one of the many games that kids could Velcro to themselves during the obstacle course run in the short-lived second season of Video Power. In practically every episode, the contestants were coming down the final slide and the co-host was yanking a box of Kabuki off of their Velcro suit. So it had to be good enough for me to take home when I saw it at my local rental store, right? Turned out that it was good enough. As a fan of games like Ninja Gaiden and Sunsoft Games, this scratched my action platforming itch very well. The concept was unique from other games, but still delivered a fun weekend rental experience with great gameplay, music, and even cutscenes.
Disagree.
Let's see.
Wholeheartedly agree. Great cutscenes.
I have a feeling I know how this is going to go.
Wait, you forgot to play my introduction music.
That gets spliced in later, dude.
Okay, good. I just didn't hear it.
From David Greenwood. I love Kabuki Quantum Fighter. My first memory of it is seeing an article about it in a gaming magazine, I want to say Nintendo Power, that the whole pitch was basically slay enemies with your hair. I thought it sounded really crazy and cool, but it would be several years before I actually played the game. I never got rid of my NES and continued collecting carts for it for years, and eventually I found Kabuki Quantum Fighter at a used game store for a couple of bucks.
Sounds like me.
I remember the ads and couldn't pass up the chance to try it out. The weirdest thing about it was the backstory, which felt like a reskinning of whatever the actual story was. The main character was Sergeant Joe American guy who underwent an experimental procedure to shrink down to micro size and fight hackers inside a computer, but for some totally unexplained reason, he takes the form of a Kabuki actor and is like, sure, we can roll with this. Let's just start whipping people with my hair, like you do. The game reminded me of Sunsoft's Batman, except with quirkier style and much easier gameplay. Disagree.
Agree.
You don't agree.
Hey, why? How come
you haven't even played past the first stage?
Well, how come there hasn't been a Sgt. Pepper video game? I just thought of that.
There has.
There has?
It's called Earthbound.
Hey, Ankyo Alien.
Then finally from Namdor07. I'm so happy to hear someone else knows about this game. Chris, you just made his day.
Hey.
It was and still is one of my favorite games, and no one ever knows what I'm talking about when I mention it. My mom worked at a place called Keytronic when I was growing up. To this day, I'm not sure what she does, but my understanding is at Keytronic, they made chips or some component that Nintendo used in its games, as every once in a while, she would get free or heavily discounted NES and Game Boy games. Most were garbage, but since we were relatively poor, I played the crap out of any title I could get my hands on. To my delight, one day after work, she brought home Kabuki Quantum Fighter. I would never have rented or purchased the game as a kid because funds were limited. The memories of whipping my hair through the game and introducing my friends to the weird title are as strong as me, strong with me as I'm sure World 1-1 of Mario is to most others. It was so strange at the time, and now, almost 30 years later, the only game I can think of that lets you use your hair as a weapon is Bayonetta.
And Shantae. What? That was a good story.
That was a good story.
I think Bayonetta is a spiritual sequel to Kabuki Quantum Fighter.
Yeah, yeah. Just Platinum, HAL, cool. They're almost the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then finally from Dave Sarin, while most kids were going for the Zeldas and Marios and Ninja Gaidens, I was picking up games like this, Shatterhand, River City Ransom, and other second-tier games that have gone on to become appreciated
River
later
City
on.
River City Ransom was never second-tier.
It was. It was not.
Oh, I would never lump River City Ransom in with Shatterhand.
Yeah. River City Ransom is
not in terms of quality, in terms of popularity.
The coolest game on the NES.
He's talking about popularity.
Okay.
This game feels like a second-rate Batman or Ninja Gaiden, but that was part of its charm, and I got many hours of it out of it and really felt it was worth my $20. Also, being a young Japanophile, I tended to gravitate toward this style of game since it reminded me a lot of the anime I was watching at a time. So there you go. It all comes together. Yep. It's all about Japan.
Yep.
So anyway, we need to wrap this episode up because you guys have families to go home to.
There's rush hour traffic outside. Kids.
Good times. I love that. So let me say that I continue to be Jeremy Parrish, even in the virtual world. And I have very thin hair in and out of the computer world.
Agree.
It's very sad. I can't kabuki. But you can listen to me on Retronauts at Retronauts.com, on iTunes, on the Podcast One Network and app. And you can support this fine endeavor to talk about weird, obscure NES games through Retronauts.com or Patreon.com/Retronauts. Yes, exciting. Guys, Chris.
I am Chris Sims, Quantum Fighter. And you can find all my stuff by going to the-isb.com. Or heading to your local comic book store to get Sword Quest, Ash vs. Army of Darkness, or Deadpool Bad Blood, or the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy Annual 2017, which my writing partner and I, we wrote all those, Chad Bowers.
Every time you do one of these intros or outros, you have new comics to talk about.
Hey, it's the idea.
Yeah, he's impressive.
Got to keep it going.
He's an impressive man. My name is Benj Edwards. You can read my stuff at benjedwards.com or vintagecomputing.com. Thank you very much.
And that is it for this Retronauts Micro. Join us on Monday for a full Retronauts and in 2 weeks for another Micro, because that's how we roll. Thanks. Thank you.